Hello, I'm Dr. Miguel Gonzalez, President of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, and your Bible teacher here on Truth to Live By. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us, and I want to extend an invitation for you to join us each and every week at this same time and on this same station. It is our prayer that God is using these programs to minister to you wherever you might be in your spiritual life.
And goals. That is the title of today's message, Dreams and Goals. We're going to be actually moving through Scripture, looking at a number of different Bible references, looking for great principles to put our dreams and our goals into perspective. Everybody has them. Everybody has dreams. Everybody has goals. But what we need to be careful and make sure is that those dreams and goals align with God's will and God's vision and God's desire for our lives. I'll tell you this right off the bat. There is no greater dream or goal in the life of the believer than to live a life that is honoring and pleasing to God. But you have dreams and you have goals, so today we're going to spend time looking at a number of passages and a number of principles that will help us make sure that those dreams and those goals are kept in their proper perspective. There's a passage in Proverbs chapter 16 that I want to open up this message with, and then we'll go, as we look at some of these other principles, we'll go into looking at a number of other passages in various books of the Old and New Testament to help support the points we're making. But before we start, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, speak to us as we delve into your truth, your word. Help us understand what you're trying to tell us. Help us apply what you're teaching us so that in turn we may live lives that honor and glorify you and lives that are filling us with the joy and satisfaction that comes from understanding our place and understanding the important principles in maintaining the proper perspective for our dreams and for our goals. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, the verse I want to look at in Proverbs 16 to start this whole thing off is found in verse 9, and it's a very short verse, but don't miss what it is saying. Listen to what the author of Proverbs says here. In his heart, a man plans his course. Listen, but the Lord determines his steps. Dreams and goals. We all have them. But are we making sure that they are all aligned with the will of God for our own lives as Christians? There are several principles that we're going to look at today and several passages that will help us understand these principles. I got a couple pages stuck right here. Let me sort this out for a moment, because the passage I want to look at is blocked. Sorry about that. The first principle we're going to discuss is the principle of making sure how dreams don't become nightmares. In other words, what you have determined to be a dream could potentially become a nightmare. And there are two reasons why a dream, your dream, could potentially become a nightmare. And the first one is because we choose the wrong goals. If you have your Bibles with you, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, it's right after Proverbs. We'll start reading in verse 1. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I try cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women, singers, in a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. Verse 10, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward of all my labor, verse 11, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, don't miss this, folks, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. You know what the author of Ecclesiastes is telling us? That his dreams became nightmares, and that at the end of all that he had done, he found it all to be absolutely meaningless, devoid of meaning, because he had chosen for himself the wrong goals. If your goals, if your dreams do not align with the Word of God and the will of God, they will become nightmares. And as a believer, none of us should want to do something. None of us should set a goal, have a dream that doesn't align with the will and purpose of God. God wants us to experience greatness. But greatness comes from aligning our dreams and our goals with the will and Word of God. In his case, his goals did not. He chose the wrong goals. And at the end of all that time, he found out that he was as empty as he was before, if not more so, and that everything that he had experienced and accomplished was meaningless. And there's nothing sadder than for a human being, particularly a human being who is rightly related to God, to live for years and years just to find at the end of that time that you missed the entire picture. Dreams can become nightmares also because we take the wrong path. They can become nightmares because we choose the wrong goals. But they can also become nightmares even though we choose the right goals because we take the wrong paths. Let's look at a couple passages that help support that. Proverbs chapter 14. And verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man. Listen, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Listen, no matter how good your motives are, No matter how well-intentioned your goals are and your dreams are, if you do it on your own and you're outside of the will of God and you're not doing it in accordance to His Word, you're going down the wrong path, and that dream, that goal will become a nightmare. And just because it seems right doesn't make it right. Just because it feels right doesn't make it right. God knows all things. If we want to do something that is right and see it succeed, we must do it, but we must do it God's way. Another passage we can look at, Proverbs. We're staying in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. Well, actually, you don't have to turn to that. It's essentially the same passage, at least almost down to the words. There is a way that seems right unto man. You know how that looks like. You know how it looks like. You know how smart we think we are sometimes. You know how brilliant we think we are sometimes. You know that there are times we think we could do something better than the way God is telling us to do it. Come on. Come on. We all do that. Now, I'm not talking about doing the wrong thing. I'm talking about doing the right thing. I'm just saying that the way we want to do it, we think is better than the way God says we ought to do it. And for those of you who have gone down that path, you can say amen when I tell you that in spite of the noble task you're endeavoring to accomplish, it becomes a nightmare because it is no longer God accomplishing this through you, it's you accomplishing or at least attempting to accomplish it through yourself. If God calls you to do something, do it. But don't do it outside of the way He wants you to do it, because it will not succeed, and that goal or dream will become an absolute nightmare. So the first principle in order to make sure that our dreams and goals are kept in proper perspective is that we need to make sure that our dreams and goals don't become nightmares, because we either choose to do the wrong thing or we choose to do the right thing, but we go down the wrong path. Pursue your dreams. God wants you to pursue your dreams. In most cases, if you're really walking with God, the dreams that you have are given to you by God. They're God-given dreams. I'm talking about aspirations when I say dreams. God wants you to aspire to great things if they're in accordance with His will and Word. Anything outside of the will of God, anything outside of the Word of God is not a great thing. It's not a great aspiration. It's not a good dream. In fact, what we just said, it becomes a nightmare. If you want to aspire to great things, aspire them, but seek God's face in accomplishing and fulfilling those aspirations and dreams. God should be at the center of all those dreams and aspirations. Pursue your dreams. But I want to give you a few principles as you pursue your dreams. The first one is this: dream big. Dream big, because your God is a big God. Dream big. And I'm not advocating, demanding that God gives you what you want. When I say dream big, I mean aspire to something great that God has called you to do, and do it His way. Dream big, but be realistic. Be realistic. First passage I want to look at is 1 Chronicles chapter 14. And I'm going to start reading in verse 9. I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles 4, not 14. 1 Chronicles 4. Verse 9. And you guys know this as the prayer of Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Verse 10, Jabez cried out to God, to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." That's the prayer of Jabez. "Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. You know what Jabez prayed for? He had a big dream. He had a big dream. He had big aspirations. But he was realistic. And he said, "God, I want you to enlarge my territory." You know what we would say today? God, enlarge your ministry. God, grow your ministry. God, through this ministry, save thousands of souls. God, through this ministry, equip the saints, thousands of them, so that they may go out in service as well, causing others to come to Christ and grow themselves for service as well. Grow this ministry, Lord, but let's keep it realistic. And let's not, listen, and to make some application, a lot of large churches, a lot of large ministries, or a lot of smaller or medium-sized churches and ministries aspire big. They want to grow, but they use the gimmicks of the world to try to achieve that. They water down the gospel of Jesus Christ. They compromise the truth. They bring in the entertainment. Nothing wrong with entertainment, but at the end of the day, we go to church to worship God, not to be entertained. There's nothing wrong in wanting to lead a church that is large and great in accomplishing the things for God, but if we're going to get there, we ought to be getting there for the right reason and using the right methods and paths. At the end of the day, you don't compromise the message. Dream big, but be realistic. Romans chapter 12. And verse 3, listen to what Paul says. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Be realistic. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's never been about you. And guess what, my friend? It'll never be about you. It's always been about Him, and it will always be about His glory. Dream, have large aspirations. Dream big, but be realistic. Second point under pursuing your dreams, just because you can do it, listen, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. That's a very important principle to follow. If you want your dream and goal to be carried out and accomplished and successful, you must understand that just because you are able to do something doesn't mean you should do it. Matthew chapter 16. And verse 26. Matthew 16:26. "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his own soul?" Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. And if you can do something, you better study it very carefully, because in doing so, you may be forfeiting something great. Listen, just because you, at least just because you can think you can wake up in the morning and exist, doesn't mean you ought to eradicate God from your thinking process. Because at the end of the day, you will have forfeited everything, period, for the sake of that way of thinking. If you're a Christian, just because you have the ability to do something, it doesn't necessarily mean it should be done. If it is not being done in accordance to the will of God and according to the Word of God, you probably should not do it. I want to go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And I'm going to start reading in verse 5. 1 Chronicles 22, 5. David said, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all nations. Therefore I will make preparations for it." So David made extensive preparations before his death. Verse 6. "Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, 'My son, I had in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God.'" Listen to this. Don't miss this. Listen to what David told Solomon, his son. "My son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God." Verse 8, "But this word of the Lord came to me, 'You have shed much blood, and I have fought many war, and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight.'" And let me see, verse 10. I lost my place. Verse 10. "He is the one who will build the house for my name. He will be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever." Listen, you know what? David wanted to build a house for the Lord, and he could have built that house for the Lord. But the Lord said he was not to be the one to build it, because he had shed much blood. It was Solomon who was to build that house. Just because David could didn't mean he should. God said, "You are not to build it, though you could. I want Solomon to be the one to build it." Therefore, you know what David did? David decided that even though it was something he could do, he was not going to do, because it wasn't the right thing to do. Another point, never trade your family for your dream. Never trade your family for your dream. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. "If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Pursue your dreams, but in pursuing your dreams and accomplishing your goals, never trade your family for your dream. That will not be a dream or goal honored by God. Another point, be patient. Be patient. Glaciers produce more than avalanches. Be patient. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. "For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live." I'm sorry, wrong chapter. It didn't sound right to me. Verse 6, chapter 5. "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Be patient in pursuing your goals and your dreams. And listen, last point I want to make. If I can't be happy here, I won't be happy there. And if the dreams I have for myself here are not the dreams that are going to make me happy, then I certainly won't be happy in the place where I'm going to be spending eternity. Well, Father, thank you so much for the fact that you give us aspirations and dreams and goals. May we learn how to live out those principles that will prevent them from becoming nightmares, and that will allow us to experience success for your glory. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is a production and ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This ministry is a listener-supported ministry. Would you please consider prayerfully supporting us both with your prayers and financially? It is because of the contributions and the partnership of God's people that we are able to continue to bring this program to you each week on this radio station. We need your partnership so that we may be able to continue preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. It is indeed our prayer that God is being glorified through the work that we do. If you are a believer, it is our prayer that God is using this to strengthen your faith and equipping you for service so that you may be able to do the work of the kingdom in this world. And if you are an individual who has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we pray that you would take this opportunity to do so simply by praying this simple prayer. Father, I acknowledge I am a sinner. I acknowledge I can do nothing to save myself or contribute to my salvation. I believe Jesus is who he claimed to be and who the Bible claims him to be. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, to create me anew, and to give me the gift of eternal life. For it is in his name that I pray. Amen. If you have prayed this prayer, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that you have been adopted and brought into the family of God, and you are now his child. Will you please let us know if you've made that decision so that we may be able to contact you in return and rejoice along with you. If you wanted to request any CD copies of any of our messages or any other resources that we have, we are asking that you do so in writing, and I'll give you our contact information in just a moment. I also want to make you aware of our website. Our web address is www.rffiministries.org. If you're requesting any resources, please address your letter to Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227-0279. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. Our phone number is 704-778-3759. Please visit our website where you can get a great deal of information about us at www.rffiministries.org. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.